positioning yourself. All right. You know, sometimes what I like about this this topic is that sometimes we focus on some of the basics, and sometimes we focus on some of the nuances and the subtleties. And I'm going to say this one has both application in a very basic sense, but also there are great opportunities to really distinguish yourself by thinking about and focusing on this thing of positioning yourself. Several months ago, somebody sent me an email. And of course, I get questions, you know, in my seminars and my live seminars and over the email. Somebody sent me an email, and they told me a little story. So they, I went in to see a cold call, talked to the receptionist, and she sent me back to see the guy. And I was surprised because she, you know, there were other people there waiting that she did not allow back, but she allowed me back. And was the first time in, and I was just kind of surprised by that. So I asked the receptionist, when I finished my sales call and I was on my way out, I said, why did you let me back to see him and you didn't some of the others? And in his story, he told me that she said, well, it's because you had finesse. And the question that I asked was, I've been thinking about finesse. Can you tell me what it means to have finesse? And, boy, I've been thinking about that. But I think that part of finesse, that ability to get people to willfully go along with you, you know, to cooperate, to be influenced, part of that is inherent in this thing about positioning. Let's get, so this really does have some great potential here. What is positioning? You know, let's define it. What are we talking about here? The spot that you occupy in the customer's mind and heart. The spot you occupy in the customer's mind and heart. In other words, positioning is what he or she, your customer, thinks and feels, two things, thoughts and emotions, mind and heart. What he or she thinks and feels when your customer thinks of you. Gee, have you ever thought about how your customer thinks about you? Well, that's positioning. And you know, this is a major thing in the advertising world, you know, as we watch TV ads and things like that, and so much of that is designed to create in our mind and our feelings, to create a perception of the product, you know? Ford has a better idea. Well, how did we get that? Well, we just saw it over and over again, you know, on TV. So these ads are understand this concept of positioning, and they try to create a very specific feeling and thought in us. Now, we can understand that as it relates to products, you know, Coca-Cola, Yahoo, you know, all those people trying to create a position in our mind and heart. So we can understand that as it relates to products. Here's the point, that applies to us as well. Now, we're not broadcasting ourselves to millions of people. However, we have a small universe of people, our customers and our prospects, that our position in their mind is incredibly important to our success. So the concept is just the same. The world is smaller. You know, we're talking about maybe a couple hundred people as opposed to 200 million, but the concept is the same. So another way of thinking about positioning is, letter B here, it's your personal brand. Brand, B-R-A-N-D, your personal brand. It's what people, your customers, think of you. Now, again, we can understand this. We have a brand. We are a brand in that our customers think and feel something about us. Now, your position, what your customer thinks of you, is made up of a complex intertwining of the perception of your company, your solutions, what you have to offer, and yourself as an individual. That's the focus. Positioning the salesperson. Now, why is positioning or your personal brand so important? Well, because of this. Because a decision to buy is made up of lots of complex things. You know, it is not just, and this is a misconception that a lot of people have, that the decision to buy is solely based on your product and your price and your service. That is just not true. I mean, that's a part of it. Of course, it's a part of it. But a decision to buy takes into effect much larger issues than just your product or your price. Let me give you an example here from my business. We have three printers that we use on a regular basis, and each printer has a salesperson. Now, one of the salespeople is a guy, I would say probably late 40s, early 50s. He always comes in a nice expensive suit. He always got a tie on. He's always got a full length coat in the winter and so on. I mean, he looks very professional every time. The other for one of the other ones, the salesperson is a middle aged lady, and again, she always comes in looking very professional. She's neat and attractive. You know, she's attractive, and so she's the second one. The third one is comes in wearing Dockers and a sports shirt, loafers, and oftentimes a jacket. Now, we got three different salespeople projecting three different images, positioning themselves, in my mind, three different ways. And I will tell you who gets the big, you know, who gets the, our big ticket items? It's the guy who looks the best. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying that we give our business solely on the basis of the image of the salesperson, but I am saying that is part of my process. That is part of the decision making. I wouldn't give a multi-$1,000 project to the guy who comes in wearing a jacket and Dockers. You know, that's just, I just don't have the same confidence. Now they all have, all these companies have the same capabilities. It's just my confidence, which their appearance and their position, how they position themselves, is a part. It's not the whole thing, but it's a part of my decision-making process. So it is with your customers. Your position in their mind, you as an individual, how they think of you, is a part of their decision-making process. And this is a subtlety. You know, this is where the really good salespeople understand this, and they work this to their benefit. Now, I believe that this thing is growing. The impact of positioning your personal brand is growing in importance. It is far more important today than it was a few years ago, and I believe it's going to be far more important in the future than it is today. And you say, well, why is that? Well, it's because of the growth in the power of brands throughout the world. Brands are becoming more and more important. Let me tell you a little story about an experience that I had that illustrates the power of brands. And that is a couple years ago, my wife went to Florida to be with her father, who was dying of cancer, and I was left at home with two sons. We had my youngest son, who was a teenager. We had a foster son, who was also a teenager, and my youngest daughter. So three kids, bachelor dad for about 6 weeks, you know? You got the picture. And you know, we muddled through. We didn't do too badly, but I recall during this time a specific incident, and that was going to the grocery store and buying the family's groceries. Now, it honestly been 15 years since I've been to the grocery store and confronted it with a list, you know? And I was doing okay, kind of working through the list, trying to find things, until I came to the cereal aisle. Have you been to the cereal aisle in the grocery store lately? I mean, really, truly, from the floor to as high as you can reach, from here to the horizon, and there are choices in cereal. Now, here I am. I'm a typical guy, you know? I've got a limited amount of time, not a great deal of knowledge here, and I got to get this thing done. Now, I could have made a decision as to which cereal to buy based on price. I could have looked for the cheapest one. I did not. I was not a price shopper. I could have looked at value. You know, I could have read those little things they have on the side of the shelf saying this is 9.2 cents an ounce and this is 4 points. I could have looked for the best value. I did not. I was not a value shopper. I could have looked for the highest quality. I could have read every label and said, you know, which is the most nutritious. I did not. I was not a buyer of price. I was not a buyer of value. I was not a buyer of quality. You know what I made my decision on? You know what I did? Shredded wheat. Now, I wasn't popular at home. But imagine now, in this situation, what did I do? On what basis did I make my decision? On the basis of a brand that I knew and trusted, simple decision, make a decision, move on. That is becoming more and more true of your customers. See, when you have a belief in a brand, it saves you time, right in the word time. I didn't want to spend time reading everything. I didn't have time. And so if I can develop a belief in a brand, it saves me time. It's less risk. R-I-S-K, because I know what I'm going to get. All the doubt's gone. And it simplifies everything. Now, these are important issues to your customers. They have less time. They don't want to take risks. Their lives are complex. Therefore, the concept of someone, an individual, that you know and trust and you believe is going to work on your behalf, man, that's an easy decision. Give it to him. Move on. See, you create that idea in the mind of your customer. You're the brand, you personally. It is more difficult today, letter B, it is more difficult today to distinguish yourself in traditional ways. And what I mean by that is, you know, the rapid improvements in technology and products and so on. Man, if you have the greatest product in the world, well, hang on 6 months, you know, somebody's going to have it a little better or a little cheaper or something. So in terms of positioning yourself, distinguishing yourself, it's harder and harder to distinguish yourself in ways that we did in years gone by. Today, it is growing. What's growing in importance is you personally as the distinction. Why should someone do business with your company instead of another one? Well, more and more because of you. Turn the page. So let's just think about this. What position do you want? In other words, how do you want people to think of you? What ideas come into that? What ideas do you want them to have? What feelings do you want them to feel when they think of you? Have you ever thought about that? Well, it's important. Now, I think there's sort of a minimum acceptable standard, and then there's an ideal that we work for. So what's the minimum? I think minimally you want your customers to think of you as a competent, right in the word competent, trustworthy person who brings value to them. You want them to believe that when they spend time with you, that time is worth their investment. Now, that's the minimum. That gets you in the game. Now you're in the game, but you're not a winner yet because you're just, if that's what they think of you, okay, that's necessary, but it's not sufficient. So ideally, in addition to that belief, they have a perception of your unique strengths and your unique attributes. In other words, there are a lot of salespeople who they believe are competent and trustworthy, but there's something about you that sticks in their mind that appeals to them personally, and that's how you begin to distinguish yourself in terms of your position with the customer. Let's turn the page. Let's talk about how we do this. How do you position yourself with value? And I believe, and I have for years and years believed that you start on the inside. That if you're really going to be, now if you look at your job as a salesperson, as you know, just a job. You come in 8:30 in the morning, go home at 4:30, sometimes 5, and it's, you know, it's how you earn your money. And if that's it, then okay, you know, you're probably not going to be too concerned about improving yourself in this way. However, if you really think of yourself as a professional, and if you're really dedicated to taking yourself as far as you can, you know, improving yourself, being all that you can become, then I believe there's got to be, at a real core basis, some harmony between what you do for a living and who you are as a person. There's got to be some synergy between who you are and who you portray yourself to be. I have this, so I believe that you start on the inside. And I have this concept of the kite string. See that little guy there holding a kite? And this is, I kind of expanded on this in my book, 10 Secrets of Time Management for Salespeople. It's the first thing I talk about in the book. And that is getting grounded. Getting grounded. What does that mean? Well, you know, you think of a kite. And a kite flies. It's designed to fly, but the reason it flies is because it's held to the ground. And when you think about it, it's kind of a contradiction. The reason it flies is because it's held to the ground. You cut the kite string, and you know, that kite's gonna flap around and come crashing down. What makes it fly? What makes it fly is what holds it to the ground. So I believe that in a concept I call getting grounded, that we need to have things in our life that hold us to the ground so that we can fly, so that we can become who we are. Why can we get better and better as a salesperson? Because there's something that holds us down. What is it? Well, three things. Your purpose. And I really suggest that you take some time to think through and create a written statement of your purpose. I mean, why are you doing this anyway? You know what? And again, there's two different levels we can do this. We can do this at the level of your job, or we can do it even deeper, you know, the level of your life. And when we're talking about, in the deepest sense, we're talking about really things that speak to the spiritual. You know, they're internal and spiritual, like, what's your purpose for living? You know, okay. If you can describe that, boy, that is a very important thing, because now that helps you be grounded. You've got something to hold on to, and with that allows you to fly. That's the kite string that helps you fly. So from time to time I do like a 10-week course for salespeople, and first thing we do, week one, you know what the assignment is? Write down your purpose. Maybe I'm just given to that kind of thinking. You know, I think about that kind of stuff all the time. Number two, your vision. What's your vision? It's what you'd like to become. It's as clearly and as articulately as you can what you see as possible and ideal. What you would like to become. And again, we can do this at two levels. We can do this just in your job. What would you like to become? Man, if you can create a vision of who you would like to be, then that's grounding. You know, that gives you something to hold on to. Or you can do it even deeper, and that is, you know, what you would like to become in terms of your life. And, you know, that's a good way to think of that is, what's the epitaph that you would like on your tombstone? What would you like, you know, those 5 or 6 words, what would you like it to read when it's all done? He was, he or she was this. That's your vision. Okay, and finally, number three, I think it's really important to create a statement of values. Values. In other words, a statement of the highest priority, most important things in your life. And again, what are the values? What are the things? You think it through and you say, these are the things that I am going to value highest. I'm not going to allow anything to interfere with these people, these ideas, these behaviors, these qualities. Now, I really think that if you want to take your performance to a higher level, if you want to position yourself, you have to know who you are in order to portray that in a way that is attractive and understandable to your customers. That's why we start on the inside. We get grounded first. Now, if you want examples of all this, by the way, there's in my 10 Secrets book, there's examples of all this. I'm not going to take the time to read them all now, but there are examples if you got the book. If not, you can get it on Amazon or something. Okay, number two. So first you start on the inside. And so, you know, maybe this takes you a week, you know, kind of a few minutes here or there, or maybe you sit down and do it in a couple hours, but you create these documents which in writing say, this is who I am. Now I know that. I can build on that now. So, secondly, sober assessment of your strengths. Your strengths. And what you do is, as objectively as possible, create a list of your unique combination of attributes, and that means your strengths. What are you good at? And your passions. What are you interested in? And just do a sober analysis of what makes you, as a human being, as a salesperson, what makes you unique? What strengths do you have? Now, I will tell you, I really believe in focusing on your strengths. I remember years ago when I heard someone say to me that, and this was a revelation at the time. I was, you know, in my 30s, I think, and the guy said something to the effect of, you know, you will always be more effective by emphasizing your strengths than working on your weaknesses. And that was just, that was a revelation to me. I mean, it was like a light bulb went off, boom. And since then, here's a book I'd really recommend, Soaring with Strengths. Soaring with Strengths. And it's, I think it's out of print now. You can probably get it, in the old book section of Amazon, Barnes & Noble and so on. But, it's a great book talking about how you can improve by focusing on your strengths. When it comes to positioning yourself, I really believe that you make a list of your strengths as it applies to this particular job. That's step one now. First you get grounded. Now you add a layer on top of that and say, what are my strengths? Letter B, you develop a line or two. I mean, you write out a line or two on how each of those strengths can bring value to the customer and or flesh out or more accurately portray your personal brand. Now, I've done a little example for you. What I want you to do is turn several pages to the back here, and you got a page at the top that says Get Grounded. Example. Will you find that right now? Hold that in front of you. And here's what I just did a couple of these for myself, personally. So I said, okay, what are my unique strengths and attributes? I'm a good writer, you know, like I've published 500 times. I got 6 books out there. Writing comes easy to me. Okay, so what does that mean as it relates to my job as a salesperson? Well, it means I can develop powerful and persuasive proposals. You know, my written proposals can be really good because I'm a good writer. So that's how I can bring value. That's how this strength brings value. Number two, I'm a good presenter to groups. And over the years, I have presented, and of course I do that now for a living. But what does that mean in my sales capacity? It means I can teach and educate my customers effectively. See, so here's my strength. Here's how it brings value. I've got white hair. And I know many of you have been in my live programs or seen me on video and so on. I have pure white hair. But it's hereditary. My mother had white hair when she was 27 years old, pure white. I got it from her. So it's something to remember me by. It's part of my personal uniqueness. And again, so here's a unique thing. Here's how it applies to my image. Number four, I've got some unique travel experiences. I've been blessed to have really some weird kinds of things. You know, we canoed the Zambezi River. You know, we've done this and that and the other thing. Well, those are all things that can, in a conversation, as a salesperson, people can, that will set me apart. Something to remember me by. Me. My brand. It's part of my brand. It's part of my image. It's part of what I want people to think of me. Okay, so there's an example now of doing part number two here, kind of laying out your strengths and saying, how can they apply to you? Turn the page. Now that you've got some, you've done some analysis, you said, who am I getting grounded? Who am I in my uniqueness? What do I have? How does this apply to the customer? Now, so you've done your analysis, and now what you're going to do is consistently seek opportunities to convey that brand, to let people know this is who you are. And what do you do there? Here's five rules. Number one, be consistent. Be very consistent with who you are. For example, if you say, I'm really good at technology. Man, I'm a high-tech guy. If you say that, and that's how you want people to think of you, and then you're using a paper day timer, that's not consistent. You know, there's this issue of being consistent that speaks to the issue of integrity. And those of you going to be around next month, we're going to talk about integrity as it applies to a salesperson. What is integrity? Dictionary says it's the quality of being true to who you are. So if you say you are something, then be consistent with that in everything that you do. Number two, find ways to utilize your strengths and emphasize your uniqueness. So you think about what have I got, and you figure out how you can apply that over and over again. Let me give you an example here. I mean, for example, I said I'm good in groups. You know? Okay. And as I look back in my sales career, whenever possible, as a salesperson over the years, I've sold many things, but if there was an opportunity to bring people together into a group, I would grab that opportunity. You know, I was the guy who they had present to this group or that group. I was the guy who did the little seminars and so on. Why? Because I was good at it. And so that was me utilizing my strengths in the job of a salesperson. Look at your strengths and say, how can I utilize this? Build on your strengths, because your strengths is how you distinguish yourself from everybody else. Your strengths are the second layer of your personal brand. Number three, think outside the box. Be a little creative. You know, like, let me give you an example here. Like, part of my image to my customers was as a guy who could be creative and a little outside the box, you know, a little different. I nurtured that. I wanted them to think of me as that. So here's one thing we did to be creative and to nurture that. I was at this point, I was selling hospital supplies to hospitals, and for Christmas, my wife would, actually she started in October, she started making Christmas cookies and candies and so on, and then we'd take plastic bedpans and line them with foil, you know, fill them up with all these cookies and candies, wrap them in cellophane, put a big bow on it, and I'd take bedpans full of goodies into my accounts. Well, that got so much play. I mean, that just, like, starting in September, the next year, they started asking, hey, are you going to bring in a bedpans again? You know, I mean, it was a big, big deal, and what it did was just emphasize some of my uniqueness in the minds of the customer. Number four, develop a reputation by intention. What I mean by that is, and be careful of what you do with your customers, the time that you spend with them. Like, I make a point and have for years and years, if I don't have something to talk to the customer about that I believe the customer would find valuable, then I'm not going to talk to them. In other words, I'm not just going to stop by and see him. I'm going to stop by and see him only if I have something that I believe he would view as value. Now, sometimes I'm off, of course. Sometimes he doesn't. But over a period of time, I gain the reputation as someone who they, like, if I'm going to call him for an appointment, they're going to give me an appointment because over time, I gained a reputation as bringing value, something of value to them. And so they would see me over a period of time. I mean, I gained that reputation by intention. You develop a reputation by intention. Number five, consider everything you do. Question everything, and say, does this add to my brand, my image, or does it detract from it? Five rules. One more thing. Understand competency, mastery, and continuous development. What do I mean by that? What's competency? Competency is having a minimal, acceptable level of skill and knowledge. When it comes to this thing about positioning, there's a minimum acceptable level. But mastery is something that you strive for. And mastery says that you continually strive to be in the top 5% of the profession. So when it talks, when we talk about positioning, there's a minimum acceptable positioning, but mastery is where you are in the top 5%. You are so unique that everybody feels and thinks something positive and attractive about you, the individual that you are. How do you get there? Continuous development. That means the basic strategy of regularly and systematically improving your performance. Let's turn the page. Here's, like, as I think about this thing about positioning, here's the difference between competency, the minimum acceptable position, and mastery, you're at the top. Okay, how about appearance? You know, if you're minimum, then you're clean and you're well-groomed, you dress like your customer, only a little bit better. And I'll tell you what, I am continually amazed at what a large percentage of salespeople in this world do not meet the minimum position here. You know, and again, I'm doing a seminar somewhere, and there's 50 guys in the room, and 15 of them got dockers on that they haven't been ironed in their life. They got a faded golf shirt on. They got scuffed up loafers, and come on, you don't meet the minimum criteria. So number one, you got to be minimum in terms of your appearance. Now, what's mastery? Mastery is that you have a unique personal style that people remember. There is something unique about you, and that you appear to be confident and self-assured. And again, this goes back to, okay, how about this thing with my white hair? See, that's a unique personal thing about my appearance. So we're going to add that on top of a basic competence and strive to mastery. How about in knowledge? See, your customer's thinking of how knowledgeable you are. That impression they have of you're knowledgeable is part of their your image to them. What is competence? What is mastery? Well, competence is you know the specifications, the functions of most products. Mastery means you know how to apply those in a very specific way to solve your customer's problems. Competence means you know the name and function of most key contacts. Mastery means you know the problems and the opportunities, you know the customer's values and passions and interests. See, how the customer thinks of you and your knowledge has a lot to do with your position. You can be competent, minimally acceptable, or you can be a master. I'm not going to read through all these. I mean, these are all here just to give you something to think about as you go forward. What I want to do is point out a couple pages forward. Come to the self-assessment. And this is an opportunity for you to just read each of these statements. If you want to think about this, what you do is read each of these statements and then check the box where you think you fall. And you can use those two pages that I had just previous, the competent and the mastery, you know, to give you sort of an idea of where you fall on this. So what's the definition of competent? It's what we say in the previous two pages. What's the definition of a master? It's what I've got under mastery. And so you can use that as guidelines and check, you know, really, how does your customer think of you in each of these very specific ways? And that gives you a self-portrait as to where you're at right now in the basics here of positioning yourself with value. And again, I go back to why is this important? Because the brand, the idea the customer has with you is growing in importance because customers have too much to do. They can't figure it all out. They need someone that they trust, someone they rely on, someone they think highly of. You can be the one. You can be the shredded wheat to your customer. Go back to that story that the person wrote to me. I got in to see the customer, nobody else did. Why? Has a lot to do with the image that you have. Again, I hope that you have got some ideas about things that you can do differently, you know, practices, and it can be something just even real minor, like okay, make sure, you know, I get my slacks pressed before I put them on. It could be anything like that, just some practice that you're going to commit to that'll take your performance up to a little bit higher level. If we can do that every single month, you know, really, truly, you will become a master. It's only a matter of time. Hey, we're done for today. Go forth, and sell well.